So probability theory only describes what is totalizable as a list of possibilities, whereas gambling, you know, pricing, the process of is able to engage with a field of risk that goes way further than those totalized lists of possibilities. And really then we can see the capitalist economy in terms of this process, right? This constitution of a risk order through gambling on risks which are not totalizable in a list, in a kind of list of possibilities, right? And the way that that functions is, you know, because of the intrinsic nature of the capitalist economy, where you have where those who have more money, more information, are able to have a better position in the game, right? Then that effectively leads to a maintenance of asymmetries, right? Economic asymmetries, power asymmetries, information asymmetries, and those which allow for a continued exploitation. So, going back to the question, then, so Richard von Mises, Ludwig von Mises, kind of put forward this theory in Hayek that the capitalist free market was more efficient than a communist planned economy, because, and we can understand that as based on this idea that kind of the economy is a complex adaptive system that cybernetically self-maintains through an equilibration process driven by opportunities for the exploitation of asymmetries. But okay, then I think I need to go back to this idea that we can think of money as a transaction machine, right? And say that, you know, that there's a hierarchy of access to this transaction machine. Okay, so for example, if you don't have a bank account, you effectively are not plugged into the being plugged into the transaction machine is using money. Right? You don't have a bank account, you just have some inflows of cash and outflows of cash. This is your only access to the transaction machine. Then having a bank account is another level. And then, for example, way at the top, you have, you know, the state control of finances, or central bank control, which are kind of administrative level control to the transaction machine. Then you can think of everyone's relationship to the transaction machine as a balance sheet that is straitjacketed by economic concerns. Okay, so this is a metaphor that Murawski uses, right? So in this game that is being played, each of the players is attempting to increase expand their balance sheet, right? But there's a straitjacket on the capacity to do that, which is defined by the incoming and outgoing, this algorithmic procedure of accounting. So everyone is attempting to loosen the straitjacket. One way of loosening it, for example, might be manipulating the standards of weighing and measurement, or debasing coins, or gambling, speculation. These these are all kind of ways of loosening that straitjacket. And losing access to the account means being kind of unplugged from the social system, effectively. So that has if basically your ability to your the more you are plugged into the system, or the looser your straitjacket, the more you are capable of dealing with uncertainty, engaging with the contingency that occurs. So I should come to a kind of conclusion here. How am I doing for time?
I think that you have the time for a conclusion.
Okay, yes, yeah. Okay, so I wanted to say, okay, that this idea that this is the only game that we can play, right, is based on a kind of on this idea that there can't be anything better than a market in terms of computing the price, the right prices, and that's also formalized under the efficient markets hypothesis. And that's true under the conditions of the game, right? But there's also, we know that game also kind of leads to these characteristic cycles of boom and bust. And we can also argue that these kind of market dynamics don't lead to the general benefit. On the contrary, they tend towards various limits, inducing collapse of those opportunities for exploitation. So, for example, you get an exacerbation of income inequality, leads to downturn in spending, an increase in lending leads to debt crisis. Also, we have this kind of increased, going towards the limit of resource depletion or pollution and so on. And these latter can be understood, in terms of negative externalities. This is, the idea of negative externalities is that assumes that the market will solve this problem if it's allowed to become a market. But it's just not the case, right? This is a kind of imperfectionist attitude. So I would argue that, there is a different possible operating system. And there are various communist attempts to provide a different optimization process that didn't rely on market mechanisms in the 20th century, but they failed because of political pressures, because of lack of computational power, and because of a lack of understanding of complexity and multi-layered networks. But that understanding and that computational power now exists, and I think that a new operating system could be envisaged, and I would argue that it would have these characteristics. So it would include universal basic income, collective insurance instruments, a kind of synthesis of cybernetic communist or anarcho-syndicalist provision of goods and services, and that would lead to effectively a destruction of the labor market, of the share market, and of private banking, kind of systematic shrinking of global asymmetries, and would be based on a kind of investment in long-term shared collective resources at the ecological, economic, educational, research, culture, all of those levels, right? So then we kind of move from real competition to something like real cooperation, which will be structurally and infrastructurally supported cooperation. Then I'll finish there.